next week's potluck, Brenda, so we're expecting something really good mixed up out of that. I'll make sure you come next week, and we'll have potluck dinner, and that'll be fun. Lots of good food. I recommend you buy one of the recipe books and bring something out of the book to potluck next Sunday. So let's make next week the recipe book potluck. That way I can con you all into buying a couple recipe books. And you should, how many do we have? A few cases. So it would be really awesome if you bought those and gave them away as Christmas gifts. And there's lots of books back there too. You're looking for Christmas gifts. Buy some of those books and give them away. There's some football stuff and there's men's stuff. And don't buy, you know, a book for your husband that says something about what women wish their men knew about marriage, you know. Don't necessarily give them that book. But there's lots of great books back there for you. And there's some teenage stuff and some children's stuff and men and women and marriage and prayer and just lots of variety. So buy it all and we'll restock it. Appreciate all the people working with that. And hey, do we have the book of the month back there too? So you want to get that because today's December 2nd and you're already one day behind. It's a 30-day devotional. So get that. We're reading the book of Isaiah together. We just finished Song of Solomon. Whoo, that was a hot, steamy book. I'm trying to talk about that on Wednesday nights. That was fun. And then we're talking about Isaiah this month. So there's some great Christmas things in Isaiah as well. Launching the brand new series today, wrapping it up. And everybody's wondering, how in the world are we going to combine Doomsday and Christmas? How are we going to do that? But the Lord's helping us, so hopefully it'll be good, and you'll understand what we're trying to say and what the Lord's trying to say to you. Lots of fresh doomsday predictions in our future, huh? December 21st, supposedly, according to some people's interpretation of the Mayan calendar, the planet will end. Life will cease to exist, supposedly on the 21st. Anybody worried? No, me neither. Did you buy a bunch of food, ammunition, and I've been reading a bunch of stories about this, and I read this one person planned on killing themselves prior to the 21st, so they didn't die. I haven't quite figured that out yet. Why would you kill yourself so you don't die? Yeah. They should wait a few hours until the drugs wear off and make another decision. Something like that. So our most recent prediction are the 21st. Anybody heard any other predictions this year? You know, Brother Camping, I don't know if we can call him brother or not, but that pastor predicted way back in May the earth was going to end, and then he predicted in October it was going to end. And anybody remember Y2K? Thought it was going to end there. And how about 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming Back in 1988? And I remember that, and if you research backwards doomsday predictions, Nostradamus has one. It was really interesting. Sir Isaac Newton has one for like 2069, so I'm just hoping I hang on long enough to see how that turns out, you know. But if you look, there's been doomsday predictions way back. The earliest recorded is 2800 B.C., doomsday predictions. The world's going to end. It's the end of the world as we know it. There's been thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of doomsday predictions since 2800 BC. And so far, they've all been wrong. So far. But if you keep predicting doomsday, eventually, you'll find it'll happen eventually. It's kind of like an epitaph on a tombstone that I saw. It says, "I told you I was sick." If you keep predicting doom and gloom, you can eventually get that. But I want to talk to you a little something about do not be afraid. Because doom and gloom, it pounces on our fear. It motivates us with fear. This area changed a lot with Y2K because of fear. And there's been a lot of fear predicted for here in a couple weeks. Most people are kind of over it. But there are people that have sold everything, bought a bunch of ammunition, built a bunker, and they're ready for the world. I'm not sure why the food and the ammunition's important if it's all going to end that day. I'm not quite sure how that all works out, but they're predicting that, and there's people that believe it, and there's people that act on it. But today I wanted us to start this whole thing with, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear sells, and people have made a lot of money on doomsday predictions, and fear sells. And the Bible talks about some difficult times that are coming. I don't think I would call them doomsday, but the Bible talks about that kind of stuff. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. We're in the Christmas season. We got to think a little bit about this chapter for sure. Verse 1, it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. In the old King James Version, it says taxed. Now that would bring fear right there, huh? Maybe that's why the angel said, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. Even though Caesar's taxing you more, even though the fiscal cliff is coming in the United States, you know, even though taxes are looming, even though the government's doing its stuff, even though there's predictions all around you of recession or depression or whatever the predictions are, higher unemployment, stock market crashing, whatever the predictions are, even though that stuff is going on, we have another word from God for us. Verse 2 says, the census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. It seems like when supernatural things occur, an angel appearing, it could be cataclysmic events, it could be planetary alignment. It's amazing the predictions of what's going to end the world. In our graphic, you saw a big asteroid hitting the planet. You can kind of see it faded up there. But that's one of the predictions of how the world's going to end. But there's predictions that the planets will line up, and then whatever's going to happen, the tidal waves and earthquakes are going to destroy the planet. There's predictions that the wolves and the werewolves might take over. I don't know. Zombies. Maybe the zombies are all coming, you know. There's predictions that a super bug, a super virus could destroy life on the planet. There's predictions that a nuclear holocaust could do it, and then a nuclear winter, and there's all sorts of predictions on how it's going to end. But here the angel appears, and it's something supernatural, it's something out of the ordinary, and the angels create fear in the shepherds. So maybe it's totally natural as a human being, when something new beyond our normal everyday life is occurring, for us to get afraid. And when we get afraid, sometimes it's normal for us to predict doom. Maybe it's normal, this is the end, this is it, this is what Grandpa told me about, you know, this is what Notre Dame said, you know, this is what the Mayans have talked about, this is what whatever, Gene Dixon maybe, I don't know. What if, this is, you know, I don't know how much faith you put into all that stuff, but this is what they talked about, and we can see the signs are there. Here's the end. But the angel said, I want to give you a different sign of a whole different thing. I want to give you the sign of a Savior being born. I want to give you a sign of a baby wrapped. I want to give you a sign of new life. I want to give you a different kind of a sign. So the angel appears. The shepherds are greatly afraid. Verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." We need to hear that in our society today. Do not be afraid. Do you know Jesus? You don't have to be afraid. He's got you. Does that mean you won't suffer? No. Does it mean you won't have pain? Does it mean that life's going to be wonderful because you have Jesus? No. But it does mean you're going to be fine. You have Jesus. You're going to be okay. Do not be afraid, the angels say. Behold, I bring you good tidings or good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. How many people? All people. Are you an all? Are you one of those? I'm one of those. This sign shall be to all people. Praise the Lord. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and what? On earth, peace and goodwill toward men." What's God's will towards you? It's good, not evil. Is there evil? Yeah, but it's not God. God isn't the creator of evil. When God shows up, the angels say, "Don't fear, good news, great joy, Savior." When Satan shows up, it's, "Be very, very afraid." Yeah, I understand that. I get that. But let's not confuse those things. Let's not confuse that. So, we're having a Savior born to us. What's he going to save us from? What's he going to save us from? He's going to save us from doom. He's going to save us from destruction. He's going to save us from hopelessness. He's going to save us from thinking this is the end and there's nothing good happening after this. He saves us from that. I go through bad stuff, but when I know Jesus, I know something good is also coming down the road. This isn't the end. The bad in my life is not the end. And I hope you know that. The bad things that happen, that's not the end. It's not over. One of the greatest reasons suicide is such a tragedy is because we think it's over. We think there's nothing good coming. We think we can't get through this. We think there's no hope. But the angels and Jesus tell us there is hope. There is goodwill. There is good news. And I want you and I to know that we will have earthly tragedies. We will have cataclysmic events. But that's not the end. That's not the end. Will they affect us? Yes. Will we have discomfort? Yes. Will some of us die? Probably. I think we're all going to die. It's my prediction. We'll see if I'm a false prophet or not. So what's the big deal about that? So the concept that we should be thinking about is not the Mayan calendar and the end of the world. On Facebook, that little cartoon come out, you know, where they have this big circular calendar and the guy with the chisel and the hammer, and he says, "Hey, I run out of room." He says, "Oh, don't worry about it. Nobody will ever notice." You know, and so even the Mayans, when I studied it out this week, even the Mayans are upset. The people that are historically predecessors, no, would it be predecessors? No, it would be the people that have followed or related to the Mayans, whatever that word is. Descendants. Thank you. You guys are smart. Even the descendants of the Mayans are upset that people have misinterpreted their calendar so bad and created this doomsday prediction from their calendar. And they said, no, that was just a cycle. There's another cycle that's going to come right after that. But, hey, some folks really like the fear thing. You know what I mean? John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. You're not going to perish, but would have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, what? Might be saved. So Jesus, the Savior, didn't come to condemn. He came to save us. He did. He really did. Some of you are yeah-butting me already. Yeah, but what about Revelation? Well, I'm going to get there. Hang on. We're going to Revelation in just a little bit. And I have 3 Sundays to work this out. So what I don't talk about today, I might talk about next Sunday. And I might talk about the following Sunday. If at the end of 3 Sundays, then you can send me nasty emails or whatever. Will the events of Revelation happen? Yeah. Yeah. Will the Antichrist show up and the false prophet? Yes, he will. Will there be a great tribulation? Absolutely. Yes, yes, and yes. But don't be afraid. I have good news. We have great joy. We have a Savior. Why should you be afraid of that? Why should I be afraid of that? I'm not afraid of the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet and the great tribulation. I'm not afraid of that. Are you afraid of that? I am not afraid of that. If the rapture happens before that, whoopee! If it doesn't happen before that, Jesus is my Savior. Good news, great joy for all people. I'm okay either way. And you know what? I think I'm going to die anyway. So eventually we're all dying. Unless we go in the rapture, and that would be cool too. Can't talk about the rapture. I would get way off my subject today if I did that. So what does the end look like? Maybe that's the bigger question. What does the end of the world look like? What does the end of life as we know it look like? What's it really going to be? I've seen some movies. Have you seen some movies? Kind of interesting. Waterworld, that's kind of cool. You know, I've seen 2012, that movie, you know. I was kind of wondering when the hurricane hit New York in 2012, and I'd watch that, you know, I didn't freeze right away, but, I mean, it was interesting. It's interesting. There's lots of sci-fi stuff, and there's lots of Hollywood ideas, and there's lots of books out there on it, but what's really going to happen in the end? For the Christian, there isn't an end. So what are you worried about? I'm more worried about people that don't know Jesus and what their end is going to be. Are you worried about them? I'm worried about those folks. We need to get them to church. We need to get them to understand who Jesus is and have their eyes open. Satan is such a deceiver. He blinds people's hearts and he blinds people's eyes. And one day they're going to bow in front of Jesus, and one day their tongue will confess that he's Lord. That's going to absolutely happen, but for the Christian, that happens today, and that happens with joy and jubilation. But for somebody that doesn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, for that person, they will be bowing to finally confess that they were wrong their entire life, and they served themselves, or they served bad ideas and bad thinking and bad religion. They served that instead of Jesus. But he indeed is Creator. He indeed is the Son of God. He really did die on a cross. He really did raise from the dead. And they will bow their knee and they will confess, Jesus, you are Lord. But my goal is to get us to do that now, not at the great white throne judgment. That's my goal. For the Christian, life does not end. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord for the Christian. That's cool. That is totally awesome. Doomsday? No such thing for the Christian. End of the world? No such thing for the Christian. no such thing. It's, even the phrase end times is misleading. End times? How can you talk about eternity on one hand and end times on the other hand? Is that a little misleading or what? Transitional times, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what would be a better phrase. But end times is a little doomsday predictor too. I understand what we're saying when we say end times, but I just wanted us this morning to think about maybe that's not a good phrase either, because there's no such thing as end times and eternity. Which is it? It's eternity. It really is eternity. So we're trying to get rid of our fear, right? Fear not. Fear not. It doesn't matter if cataclysmic world events happen. It doesn't matter if America goes into a recession. It doesn't matter the personal tragedies that we have in our life. It doesn't matter. We're going to be okay. Jesus is with us. We're not alone. It's not only about this time, this decade, this year. We have hope. We have a Savior. We have a God that is eternal, and we also are eternal. I haven't said this phrase in a while. Maybe it's time I say it again. Some of you are going, oh no, here he goes. He's going to say it again. But we're not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And who cares what really happens in this human life? We have eternity. And yeah, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and more abundantly. And he gives lots of promises for here and now. We don't just live for the sweet by and by. We don't just do that. But when the rubber hits the road, and when you're thinking about doomsday and end of the world, and when you're thinking about being overwhelmingly depressed, and when you're thinking about the world's gone to hell in a handbasket, and when you're thinking about all that stuff, you have to stop yourself and get rid of your fear and say, I am an eternal being saved by the blood of Jesus, and I'm on my way to heaven, and what happens in this life is pretty inconsequential. And you have to get there. To get rid of your fear, you really have to get there. It is so awesome parenting that way. It is so awesome living life that way, because God's in control. God's good. God's eternal. God loves me. God sent his son. His son's coming back again to get me. I'm okay. I'm okay. There's no such thing as doomsday. There's no such thing as the end of the world. Let's look at Revelation 21. I'm just on my soapbox right now. I'm hoarse already. I got a cold and I'm yelling at you. I don't know what's going on. Love ya. Love you, Skinner. Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You get that? A new heaven and a new earth. Yeah, we're messing this planet up. Yes, this planet will die. But that is not doomsday. That is not the end. I see a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. You know, it died. That was a really bad trumpet. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. There will be no more death, no more sorrow. And you're worried about this world passing away? You're worried about doomsday? Look at the new heaven and the new earth. Isn't this much better? It's like, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's just do this thing. The only reason he doesn't, I mean, we can go to 2 Peter. I'll talk about that next week or the week after. 2 Peter a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and some people say he delays his coming and he's never going to come. It's never going to happen. It will happen, but it says the only reason it hasn't happened is the long-suffering of God is waiting for more people to repent. I love that verse. I love that verse. The delay is so you would finally get to church and repent. The delay is so some of your family, why not today, Lord? Because there's a few more people that you and I need to get into the kingdom of God. That's why not today. That's why not today. I'll talk about that later. No more crying, no more sorrow. There shall be no more Tylenol. No more pain. No more Advil. No more ibuprofen or Aleve. Oxycontin. No more. So you're, no more Oxy? You're going to have better joy than Oxy could ever do for you. Don't worry about it. The former things have passed away. He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Man, all these doomsday predictions, they are not true or faithful. But these words are. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who's the end? Yeah, Jesus is. God is. He's Alpha and Omega. The end won't happen without him. He'll be in full control, and it'll be fine. And it won't be the end. It'll be the end of the old world and the old heavens, but it won't be the end, because we're eternal. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He will be my son. Verse 8 is not really, I thought about stopping at verse 7. So they would be a little more fuzzy and warm. But we should read verse 8. But the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable, that snowman guy, and the murderers, and the sexually immoral, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's not all warm and fuzzy. Well, it's all warm, but it's not all fuzzy. If you got Jesus, you're good. You're safe. If you don't, if you're in this other category, cowardly, sexually immoral, a sorcerer, idolater, serving New Age stuff, false gods, a liar, it's kind of a liar. White lies, little black lies. I just recommend you don't lie. This is one of the verses that really makes everything pucker up when I'm thinking about lying. This is like, it's not worth it. Because all liars get the lake of fire. I would just rather mom not be happy with me right now than have the lake of fire. I would rather just admit to the boss that I was dinging around. I would rather do that than spend eternity in the lake of fire. I'd rather do that. Maybe that's a doomsday prediction. I don't know. But most of that doesn't sound too bad. I mean, except for verse 8. But for us Christians that have the blood of Jesus cleansing us and washing us, new heaven, new earth doesn't sound too bad, does it? No more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. All the former things are gone. That doesn't sound bad. If you're thirsty, I'm going to give you the water of life freely. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega. I got this thing. Don't worry about it. I'm God. That sounds really, really good. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be all to all people. Unto you is born a Savior. A Savior. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's getting ready to die, and he's getting ready to go to the cross. And they haven't quite understood what's happening. To them, it feels like a doomsday. It does. It feels like you're supposed to knock these Romans off their high horse and bring the kingdom of God back to the planet. You're going to die? That seems like a doomsday. We quit fishing and followed you for this. We quit tax collecting and followed you for this. We quit being a doctor and followed you for this. And we quit being a lawyer and followed you for this. And now you're leaving? You're dying? And they felt like it was a doomsday, but he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Doesn't that sound pretty good? Come on, doomsday. Make my day. My Father's house are many mansions. I'm going home. I'm not worried about you. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Don't you know God's not hiding information from us? He's not hiding information. "If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I'm not trying to hide anything from you." He plainly tells us what the future has in store. Plainly tells us. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also." I remember one of my friends dying, elderly gentleman. Some of you might have known Red Lewis. He was my mom's pastor way back when. And I remember when he was dying, he had some heart issues. And a couple days before he died, he's in church. And it was like the heavens are opened. It was like he could see the angels coming. It was like his understanding of God received some amazing clarity, comfort, and peace. And then just a couple days later, I'm up at the hospital visiting him, and he's going to be dead in just a few hours. I didn't know that. He probably did. I didn't know that. And he just says, you know, he says, "Kelly, I just see the angels. I see God. They're coming. They're coming for me." And here Jesus says, "I'm coming again for you." And sometimes we think about that at the second coming of Christ, when he physically comes and sets up his kingdom. And the Bible's clear on what that day is going to look like. But if you and I die today, he comes for us today. We're okay. We're okay. He's coming for us. He's going to hold us. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of death. Death is not that bad. Don't hurry it up. Don't hurry it. Don't do suicide stuff and don't rush the thing. But don't be afraid of death. Jesus said, "I'm coming again. I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm coming that I might receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also." In verse 4, he says, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." You know why the angels could say, "Good news, great joy, don't be afraid"? Because Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth. And even above all of that, Jesus is the life. If you have him, you have life. Nothing else matters. Nothing else trumps that. That's the trump card that's higher than everything else. No man comes to the Father but by me, but through me. That's the message we have to get out. It's Christmas, Christ Mass. We're celebrating his birth. We're celebrating God's gift of love to the planet, to all humanity. And the message you and I have to get out is that it's only through Jesus that we don't ever have to worry about a doomsday. We don't ever have to worry about the end. In him we have eternity. We have life. Without him, though, it's verse 8 of Revelation 21 that we read. That's a bummer. We don't want that. Look at verse 27 of John 14. Peace I leave with you. So Jesus is continuing this dialogue with his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you have the peace that Jesus said he's giving to us? I hope you have this peace. I hope you have a peace that passes understanding. It's not like the world gives. The world says, if you can get beautiful and rich and really healthy, then you can have some peace. No, I don't think I'm any of those, and I have a lot of peace. If you get Jesus, you get peace. So let not your heart be troubled. If you know Jesus, you've seen this phrase, know Jesus, know peace. And I hope you do. I hope when you hear the next doomsday prediction, you just laugh. I have peace. Fiscal cliff is coming. I have peace. I have peace. Doesn't mean it won't hurt. It doesn't mean I won't suffer. It just means I have peace. If a cataclysmic event happens, it's not the end. There's something better down the road for me because I know Jesus and I know peace. I know Jesus and I know peace. And I want that for all of you. I want that for all of your families, your friends, and your neighbors. I want our generation to know Jesus and to know peace. I want the Life Center to trumpet this message out into the world. Do not be afraid. If you know Jesus, you're fine. You're going to be okay if you know Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks you. Thank you today for the message of the angels. Thank you today that you constantly reassure us it's going to be okay. Thank you, God, that we are eternal beings. And no matter what happens here, our eternity includes a new heaven and a new earth. It includes a place where there's no tears and no dying and no sorrow and no pain. I am going to be fine. And Lord, I pray today if there's anybody here that's not sure that you would help them today to be sure. They can know Jesus and they can know peace. God, I pray you would help them to just say the prayer of, God, forgive me for my sin. I come to you. I accept your forgiveness. Wash me. Cleanse me. Teach me. I will live for you the rest of my life. Lord, just a prayer like that is all it takes to know you. And I pray we all have said that or would say that today. And I pray as we walk out these doors, God, that we would know peace. We would not be afraid. We would have joy because we have Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, get your Connect card out and help us out there. Maybe you accepted Jesus as your Savior today, and you can let us know that on this card. A couple of response items for the message is I will not fear the future. God's with me. He's my peace, my Savior, my hope, and He loves me. It's a great declaration, just a great declaration for you to know and to say. The second box you could check would be, there may be some difficult times ahead for me, but the best of times are ahead of me too. I can make it through the difficult times with Jesus, knowing the joys of eternity are my true destiny. Man, there may be some difficult times ahead, but the best of times are still ahead of us. That's true. The joys of eternity is our destiny. So our ushers are coming. We're going to receive the offering today. Hey, I encourage you to be a tither. I encourage you to just give. It won't hurt a bit, and you will find the blessings of God multiplied in your life. All of us that tithe, we would just tell you, it won't hurt you a bit, and it'll help you a bunch to tithe. And that's the truth of it. So we encourage you to be tithers and givers, and we thank you for that. Pray the Lord's blessings on your finances. And when we receive an offering, I usually pray that. I believe that when you give, God gives back into your life. I really believe that. If I didn't believe that, I could not even ask you to give. If I thought when you gave that it took that amount of money out of your life, out of your budget, away from your family and away from your kids, if I really thought that, I couldn't ask you to give. But I know that God says when you give, I multiply it back to you financially and in so many other ways.